VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And this very special program will cover a topic that every single person out there needs to know more about, that being the tax proposal. You notice I did not use the term tax cut proposal. I used the term tax proposal. So I'm going to take a phone call immediately. But after the market wrap and such, probably in the second segment, we're going to start on this thing, and I'm going to unwind it for you in a way that you will not hear anywhere else, and you are not going to be very happy. So if you're one of those people who can't stand bad news, I suggest maybe you want to turn the volume down a little bit. Don't go away, though, because you need to know. But meanwhile, good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Absolutely wonderful. How about you?
Good. Well, good. Given what you just said about the tax thing, I didn't realize you were going to cover that in the second half of the show. My question might be a little bit preemptive.
No problem.
My question really is about the tax proposal and other legislative suggestions of that sort, like the health care, the two health care bills. One of the more frustrating things for me, and I'm sure a lot of people, is to truly understand whether something that's being proposed is really good for us or really not so good for us. What you hear, obviously, from both sides are very differing opinions. Like in the health care bill, you know, it was going to, according to the Democrats, it was going to wind up resulting in a lot fewer people being insured, and this was going to be wrong, and that was going to be wrong, and the Republicans said, oh, no, that's not true at all. It's going to be better. More people will be insured. Prices will go down, and blah, blah, blah. And you wonder, how can two different sides look at the same legislation being proposed and come up with such different viewpoints of what they think is really in there? Now comes the tax proposal, and it's the same thing. I honestly don't know whether or not what he's suggesting is going to be good for the taxpayer and good for the country. It sounds like it, but it's really hard to know.
There will be some winners, but there's going to be a lot of losers. And if you listen to the whole program, I'll give you a pretty good flavor for what I see. But as far as that, the whole concept of everybody arguing about it, what I think, if you want to really take care of yourself the best way possible, assume the worst and pray for the best, you're probably going to be right. Congress is not going to give you anything. Remember, they approach their job from the standpoint of all money belongs to them, and whatever you get to keep is a gift. Now, if you look at things that way, you can pretty much tell where we're going with these things. Call me a pessimist if you want to, but I've been around for 67 years and it's never been any different.
And the reason that they can see it so differently is that they haven't even looked at it.
Exactly.
They go into it with a preconceived notion of the outcome, and then they build the narrative backwards from there to get to that final opinion that they already drew before they read the legislation.
Well, so Schumer's given a speech within 5 minutes. If you're given a speech in 5 minutes, that means you pre-wrote the script, right?
Right.
So no matter what Trump says, he's wrong. It's like, how do you know if Clinton's lying? His lips are moving.
Yeah.
It's the same philosophy.
No, I think Adam is right. I think these guys actually get up in front of cameras and a microphone and truly do not understand, have not read the bill being proposed, and are just speaking from what they want the narrative to be, and how that fits in with you know, their thoughts and opinions. And I'd like to have the Office of Truth in all things be established in government today, where you really bring people in who have no axe to grind on either side of an issue, and they study the bill and they say, okay, this is what's going to happen. I know the OMB is supposed to be doing that from the financial point of view.
Right. That reminds me, many times I've said we need a truth in labeling. It reminds me of the old thing, how many legs does a dog have if you call the tail a leg?
Yeah.
Still has four. You can call a tail whatever you want, but it's still a tail and the other four are legs. So that's the same thing. You can call it a, like the Obamacare was the Affordable Care Act. Affordable, right. As Nancy would say. Affordable. Well, that doesn't make it affordable. It's actually unaffordable. So you can call it whatever you want, but you can lead it to water, but can you make it drink? I don't know.
Yeah, but truly, Steve, I agree with you. It's certainly not been a good bill. It's not been good for the country. It doesn't do the things it said it was going to do, reduce costs and so forth and so on. But I don't know, truthfully, whether the two bills that the Republicans either submitted or were going to submit are any better. And you hear very differing opinions from people who are supposed to be smart people on a subject like that, and it makes you shake your head and say, you know, what am I supposed to believe? You know, unless I actually get a copy of the thing and sit down and read it for myself, which I'd prefer not to do, and I'd probably fall asleep anyway. You know, how do you know?
It's one of the great ironies of the times that we live in, that we have such amazing access to information, and yet everything seems to become less clear at the same time.
Yeah. It is a paradox, isn't it?
It's so strange.
One of my other theories of politics, too, is that if somebody puts their name on a bill and they leave Congress, the bill ought to expire. And then the Congress can talk about whether or not it worked. And if it didn't work, you just don't pass it again. And if it did work, fine. Pass
good
it
luck
again.
With that.
Well, you know, the Affordable Care Act doesn't have Obama's name on it, but he took ownership. He said, you want to call it that? I'm good with that. It's Obamacare. So it should have expired when he left. So I can argue anything that way, but you're basically correct. We are never given adequate information. Plus, even when the bill passes, you could read it. Obamacare is 1,700 pages long, but it's got 50,000 pages of regulations after it.
Right.
And you're not going to see those.
No.
No. So
I'll be listening to see how you cover the tax situation, because I truly do not understand it. I mean, it sounds on first blush like it's going to be a good thing for the average taxpayer and good thing for the country, but then you hear other sides of the people talking about how, you know, the rich are going to wind up being better off and they're paying fewer taxes. And, you just simply don't know.
Like everything of that magnitude, there will be some winners.
Yep.
But there'll be a lot of losers, and you're talking to one of them. And so am I, by the way.
Stand, guys. Keep telling the truth.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. Thanks so much for the call.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Anyway, I remind everybody, welcome. We do appreciate you being here, for the regulars especially. We do this for you. And if you're new to the show, what a great way to get introduced to the show. I have a feeling we're going to have some fun by the time the hour's up here, so stick around and see what happens. I've had people tell me that we get in the middle of some discussions and they're riding around in the car and they pull up in their driveway and they've got to leave the car running for a while because they don't want to miss the end of the discussion. That's a great picture. I absolutely love it. So anyway, this is, as always, a live show, so you can call in, as you know. And we appreciate it if you do, if you want to talk about what you want to talk about, or if you want to elaborate on what we talk about, or want to opine with or without agreeing with Adam or me, please do. We'd love a good, honest discussion as long as everybody's civilized. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, Adam's going to tell you about more records that have been set. This stock market is reflective of improving economics, and the more these economics improve, the more the stock market likes it. So all you hear, all the fighting, all the infighting, all the whining and screaming, and three hurricanes later, things are getting better. I just hope we can continue to help out with the recovery as much as possible. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And in this segment, we're going to talk about the stock market. And while we do so, I'm going to see if I can get the smile off of Adam's face, but I don't expect it's going to be very easy because what a week we've had. But first, I want to say we do have a trivia question today, and it's about inflation. Brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And the question is, according to the Chapwood Index of Inflation, what was the rate of inflation in Jacksonville, Florida for 2016? And I'll take it within a half a point. Now, remember, the Fed has it under 2. This number, I'm going to really help you narrow it down. This number is larger than 2.
Yeah, and Jacksonville, just to give you some perspective, is there's nothing special going on here that would cause it to be substantially higher or lower.
No. So. It's mainstream America, and in fact, our rate of inflation in the Chapwood Index mirrors typical cities of its size and nature.
Right.
So we're not out of line in any way. I'm not asking it for that reason. I'm asking it because the Fed is such an idiotic group of people. They don't know how to measure it. But that's another story. All right. This week in the market.
So this week in the market was pretty darn good, but I'm not so concerned about this week. I want to know if I had asked you or told you 2 months ago that the market would be up in August and up in September, what would you have said?
Good.
I would have said no way.
Well, that's what I would have meant.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have believed it even if I said it myself. You've got all the political nonsense that's going on. You've got the rocket man over in North Korea, and you've got the market at all-time highs, and you're entering the most volatile time of year historically. And what do we get? 2 months where the market rises.
And you can't even pass something you've passed 61 times, and the market is counting on that. Well, now they're counting on the tax cut. So it's very difficult to sit here and criticize a market that's going up, but it surely was unpredictable.
Well, I mean, the market is somewhat pricing in the tax cuts, but at the same time, I think that things are improving as well.
Oh,
if you
definitely
look at earnings and you look at sales, top line growth, I think that things are getting better.
Coming week brings us the jobs reports.
Yep, we'll see how, and that's been pretty strong lately, so
we'll see how that goes. And we've got the three hurricanes that are skewing numbers, and yet the unemployment claims have not skyrocketed.
Not even close. I'll talk about that in a minute.
I figured you might.
The weekly gains were modest, with the Dow just inching ahead by 20 basis points, while the S&P increased by 0.7%, and the NASDAQ was the leader at about 1.1%. But for the month, all of the indexes increased by 1% or more in September, which is fantastic. This also closed the third quarter, which saw increases of about 5% across the board. And the year is now looking really good, with the S&P up 12.5%, the Dow up 13.4%, and the NASDAQ up an incredible 20.7%.
If we could break even on that number for the rest of the year, everybody would be smiling.
Yeah, can we just stop right now?
Yeah, but I think it's going to go further up.
I actually do as well, just based on momentum and how things typically go after a series of gains like this. When everyone thinks it's going to fall off a cliff.
Exactly.
But so it'll probably do the opposite.
We're going into that period of time when the market makes most of its money from about middle November through May.
Plus, a lot of that economic activity that was slowed because of the storms is going to be pushed forward into the fourth quarter. So it could be a real good fourth quarter.
And speaking of which, we had a GDP revision.
I am also getting to that.
I figured you might.
Also, before I get to that, though, I want to talk about commodities. Equities have fared really well this month. Commodities not named oil have not fared as well.
Not named oil.
But USO, the ETF that tracks the price of oil, gained 8% in September. And gold, silver, and natural gas, not so much. But that is...
Which is really incredible when you look at what's happening to the dollar, just fading and fading. Those things should be going up.
Yeah, well, but money poured into stocks. So
yeah, exactly right.
That's what happens.
There's only so much of it to go around.
The other area of weakness this month was in fixed income, dropped slightly. However, the shorter the duration of the fixed income, the less drop you saw. So short term was down about a half a point, while 20 year plus was up, down about 2%. So now we've been saying this for a long time, but keep your duration short.
Yep, that's right out of the book.
Yep, rising interest rate market, there's really no other way to play it. Initial jobless claims I wanted to talk about, they remain strong. They stayed under 300,000 for the 134 straight week, which makes it almost as long as we've been doing this show. And that is with the three major hurricanes that hit the U.S. And you would think that that would cause some unemployment, but it's kind of the contrary. It looks like it's putting people to work, actually.
And it's not like there were 299. No, it wasn't close.
It did get close one week.
Yeah, 295 or something like that. But 272 this week, which they called a miss because they're expecting 270. I got a kick out of that one.
I'd call that right on the forecast.
I call that a darn good estimate.
Yeah. The economic data this week continued with GDP, as Dad mentioned. It was for the first time in 2 years, we saw it over 3% at 3.1%. And there is some speculation, as I mentioned, that the third quarter might be weaker due to the hurricanes. But I think all of that will be pushed forward into the fourth. So it could be a really good year in terms of GDP growth.
You've already seen it in the car business from all those damaged cars. They are ramping up production as we speak.
Yep. And the car business was sort of on the cusp of peaking out and possibly going into a decline. So this might be sort of the bad news event that actually lifts them into a new high.
Car making and agriculture have one thing in common. A good hurricane once in a while helps them out.
That is true. Another bit of a bright spot this month was personal income, which grew at 20 basis points that met expectations. But so it wasn't a beat, but still seeing it grow at that rate over the course of a month is a good thing. We've been focusing on this lately. We've just really lagged on personal income growth over the last 8 years since the recession. And to see if it could maintain that level of growth, I think we'd be in pretty good shape. And then the last thing I want to talk about was the housing inventory. We had a couple of misses there this month, but a lot of that was due to pricing and lack of availability, which we've been saying for a while. And I think, in addition, that we're not going to catch up in building based on all those workers are now going to be focused on reconstruction from all the damage that was caused by the hurricanes. So they're not going to be building new homes. They're going to be repairing existing homes for a while now. I mean, there was some serious damage across the southeast because of those hurricanes, and I think a lot of that labor will be redistributed into repairs.
I absolutely agree. No, I will tell everybody right now exactly what October is going to bring in the market, but unfortunately you have to stay tuned until the first show in November to hear that. I have no idea, but as I said, I do like the looks of this market. I like the looks of the economy. And all in all, you hear all this stuff, and there's so much negativity out there, whether it's in a football game or an NBA game or arguing in Congress or whatever. But what drives this market is the economy, and the economy is doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Even retail looked a little bit better towards the end of the quarter, so it might have been a good buying opportunity there in August.
Exactly right. Well, wonderful. I want to talk about tax cuts, but I don't know that I want to start it just yet. But let's just take a little quick look at what am I talking about. There is a gang of six, and whenever I start to use the word gang, and it has anything to do with politicians, I personally get sickened, because when they form a gang, you should be prepared to pull out your wallet. It doesn't matter what it is, it can't possibly come out good. Trump ran, and this is my critical of Trump moment. He ran on some really good ideas. The best idea he had was the 15% corporate tax rate, which in his version of the world would apply to every business, great and small. Quote James Harriet a little bit. Well, that meant if you were a sole proprietor who does tile work, or if you had a plumbing company with 15 people and you organize as an S-corp, or you have some little financial advisory practice or something like that, rather than paying marginal tax rates based on personal income, your profit over and above your salary was to be taxed at 15% like everybody else. That is very stimulative. Everybody knows that the bulk of job creation happens in small companies. Small companies need a break to be able to hire more people. Well, the Gang of Six, and it includes people like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. Imagine why that got nowhere.
If you couldn't see that, there were eyes rolling in this room.
No. Anyway, the big business, they lost their 15% by 5%. They get 20. And remember, this is a proposal. This has not passed. And everything I say is a proposal. It could get worse. It will not get better. The small business, those of us who are to be treated exactly equally with General Motors, we get 25%. 25%. That's a 40% increase over Trump's proposal. Who pays that money? I do. You do. Probably a whole bunch of people listening to this show right now. You pay that money. It's probably the same rate we have now, since most of us land squarely in the 25% bracket. Where's my tax cut? Seriously, people. Yeah, I'm not going to go out and hire more people with the money I save if I don't save any money. This is just the kind of smokescreen that really makes me angry. I'm going to try to control myself as we get into this thing a little bit more after the break. It won't be easy. So if you can help me at all, just soothe me a little bit once in a while. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour, and remind me about security problems, too. Van Lee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And it seems we've had another data breach security problem. Remember the Equifax thing that I've been talking about for a couple of weeks, where 143 million people were subjected to the loss of their identity to thieves, and it included your Social Security number. Well, now Experian, that's two out of the top three, has another problem, and they are in the process of making you some offers for a PIN number and such, but you can do much better than that. I asked everybody out there for 2 weeks now to freeze your credit. Just put in your Google search, your Bing search, freeze my credit in Florida, and it'll teach you how to do it. It takes a few minutes. Don't fail to do it. This is very important. But on top of that, I mentioned the Social Security numbers on purpose, because Social Security numbers add a new dimension to how easy it is to get your identity stolen. If they go to the Social Security website, and if you go there first, you can eliminate that possibility. Social Security login, once you establish an account, they will ask you if you want a two-step verification. What that means is you put in your ID and password, it goes to the next step, and it sends you a text with a number on it, and you cannot get on that website without entering that number in within a few seconds. That will keep everybody out who isn't you, or at least doesn't have your phone in their hand. Do it. That barely takes 60 seconds to set up, including getting online to them. And the Social Security website has actually become quite user-friendly now. In the old days when it first got started, it was really a piece of junk. But it's really much better now, and it's full of good information. Plus, you should check on your own earnings record while you're there, because I have found mistakes in earning records, both in Sarah's and mine, and gotten them corrected, no problem. You just send them a letter, and pretty soon you get a letter back saying, thank you very much, here it is corrected. You go back on there and look, and sure enough, it's corrected. So you don't want to not get credit for a year that you did work, because it changes your benefit at the end, and that's exactly one of the things that happened to us. Another time, they had my income doubled in there, which would rather it weren't a mistake, but it was. So that one would, of course, accrue to my favor, but it wasn't fair to have them think I made that much when I didn't. So do those things. Freeze your credit. Go to Social Security. Get a two-step verification, and you will be much safer for it. That's the key. Trivia question still out there. According to the Chapwood Index of Inflation, which measures inflation rates in 50 cities around the country, and they bring it up to date every 6 months, what was the 2016 inflation rate in Jacksonville? And I'll take it plus or minus a half a point. Okay, here we go. How many times have we heard it? This is going to be the biggest tax cut in the history of this country. It's going to jumpstart the economy, and everybody is going to get their taxes cut. And then they backed off maybe a little bit on the richest people. They might or might not get their taxes cut. Frankly, I don't care, because I'm not one of them. So call me selfish if you want to. But let's see what the rhetoric is, and let's see what the truth is. And remember, this is the proposal done by the Gang of Six. It is not the law. It is the starting point for discussion. It will not get better than it is as it's presented here right now, and I'll talk a little bit about that. So let's start out by asserting, yes, there will be some winners. Big, profitable businesses that are paying 35%, they get their taxes reduced to 20%. Will that help the economy? Absolutely it will. It definitely will. It's a wonderful thing. 15 would have been far better. I figure if you're in the highest spot, which we are now, we're number one, highest taxes for corporations in the world, why not jump down to the bottom 10% or something like that to become really competitive? Why would we settle for being in the top half or top third when we could really go for it? After all, anybody who's studied any economics knows no corporation pays taxes. People pay taxes. If corporations didn't have corporate tax, they'd lower their prices. You'd buy more. You'd make more money. You would pay the taxes. That's an argument that I promise you I will never win. I can win it with people, but I can't win it with government. So there are some winners. How about people who pay alternative minimum tax, since that's going to go away? Well, yeah. Those people will definitely be winners. But there's a dirty little secret behind that one. You know why it's going away?
I don't. I mean, it's been long wished for by a lot of people that it would go away because it was designed to do one thing and it ended up catching a lot of middle class
people. Yeah, it was designed for something like 22 families or something like that. And it's now impacting tens of thousands of people. And every year they have to change the law a little bit so it impacts a few less people. And it's just absolutely asinine and stupid to even have the thing. But the reason they had it was because some people were taking too many deductions. That meant that their gross to net ratio for taxes was higher than Congress liked. In fact, there were 20-some people out there at one time who didn't pay any federal income taxes despite having huge incomes because they followed the tax law. You know, Adam and I have said it at least 10 times on air. What's another word for a tax loophole?
Just part of the current tax code.
You got it. Out of the 70,000 pages, every single item in there can be looked at as a loophole. If you don't get it yourself, you call it a loophole. Well, in this proposal, they're taking away so many deductions, they don't need the AMT anymore. Basically, we're all going to be subject to it. It took me a while to figure this one out, but I got it. So there, if you assume ever that the government's going to do you a favor by changing something like that, you will never figure out where they're going. But if you assume, like I do, the worst and really dig into it, you know exactly what's going on. And that's what's happening. We're getting rid of it because it won't do any good anyway, which does save everybody a few bucks in their tax preparation because you basically have to prepare your taxes and then run them again with the new assumptions for the AMT. But the CPAs will have a little more time on their hands than I tell you that'll come in mighty handy in February, March, April for them.
I mean, it's all on a computer these days. It pretty much happens automatically.
True. Yeah, that's very true. And we don't need it. Now, my question is, will they refund all that AMT that people have paid in.
Oh, no.
You know, it's been done once.
Really?
In the 90s, George W. Bush had a, I don't know exactly what you'd call it, but like an AMT Freedom Day. And it wasn't that they canceled the law, but he said, on one time only, if you have accrued AMT, which you usually can't get back and except to apply it against some next year, forward year's tax return, they you could apply for it and they'd refund it all to you and you could start over. Hmm. And I did. And it was great. I loved it. But they didn't get rid of the law at that point. So here we go, starting over again. And I don't always pay it. I don't know if everybody, anybody out there ever pays attention to it. But getting rid of it can be nothing but a good thing. But we want our money back if that law goes away. All right, now, some more winners. How about the heirs of rich dead people? Or okay. Rich people who are about to die. They're getting rid of the estate tax, the death tax.
Okay.
So, how good is this? Remember in 2010 we didn't have one? George Steinbrenner died,
mm-hmm.
owner of the Yankees, in 2010. Do you think they got away with no taxes? Oh, no, 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 no. See, when you get rid of the estate tax, you substitute a new capital gains tax for it. Nobody knew that. There was an exemption from the capital gains tax of about $4 million, as I recall. Above that, when the heirs sold the assets, they were subject to the capital gains tax.
But wouldn't the assets have been stepped up in basis to the date of death?
Not under that law.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
I did not know that.
No, I truly am not sure whether that day gave you the step up and you only had to pay on what was above that. But as I recall, it went back retroactively. And the worst part of that was that those assets usually could not be proven what the cost basis was because people had had them too long and they weren't record keeping like there is now. So don't expect that just because the death tax is going away that there won't be any tax from it. So it's a great way to toot their own horn and say, look how wonderful we are. We're getting rid of this.
The fact is at $5.25 million per person right now, yep. not many people pay it anyway.
No, so. That is absolutely true. And that's one of the good things or bad things, depending, is when they're touting all the wonderful things about it, but they're talking about 0.001% of the population even affected by it, please don't do me any favors again. All right, I've got to really get into the bad parts right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. And we are all in the process of getting our storm trash moved away. There's going to be a lot of little detailing work on some lawns that might be, shall we say, more fun to job them out than to do them yourself. So
yeah, the sod people should be, their sales should not be low this quarter.
And that is the truth. All right, tax cuts. Don't do me any favors. I've titled this Trojan Horse Alert for reasons that will become very obvious, I think, if they haven't been already. So my first loser is us, the little business people. I've mentioned that, how all businesses will be treated the same except in an animal farm moment. Some businesses are more equal than others. So the C-corps get 20%, S-corps get 25%. What happened to equality? Well, the same thing that happened to 15%, apparently. This, remember, is a proposal designed by a committee of six. When this thing is released to the floor for discussion, that committee size goes to 535. Can you imagine? Yeah, you probably can. All right, let's look at some more details. The 25% pass-through rate for businesses. Well, maybe it's not quite even that good because there's going to be some items that aren't necessarily deductible anymore, but they won't tell you what they are. So how do we know? And it might only be for people who make goods instead of services.
Really?
So you plumbers and you financial planners and all
doctors,
of that.
Doctors, lawyers.
You just might wind up excluded from this thing and go right back to the old individual tax rates, which would jump you up at some point, which they will not tell us, to 35%. This has three rates, 12, 25, and 35. Do they tell us where your brackets are?
Well, so...
No.
Right. So that's my biggest complaint, is that they tell you there's three brackets, one of which is higher than the current lowest bracket, which, how does that make sense? I don't think it does. But they won't tell you where it starts or where it ends. So how do you know if this is a good plan or not? The fact is, you don't.
You don't.
If that 12% bracket extends to $200,000 of income, oh, well, then it's a great plan. Lots of people will win. But if it stops at $10,000 of income, it's a terrible plan. So what we don't know anything at this point.
Okay, let's talk about repatriating money. You know, there are trillions of dollars overseas that have been taxed overseas, and if we bring them home and try to invest them here, it's going to cost 35% in federal tax rates here. The repatriation, which has been done a couple of times, means you got a window of time to bring that money home and pay a repatriation tax on it, which is lower than the corporate tax rate, and invest it here. Well, my recollection, and I do not have the exact data to back this up, but I remember these things pretty well. I think in the past it's been done at 4% and 7%. They're looking at maybe something around 10%. Well, why not just go with a winner and do 4, or better yet, 0? Bring your money home. Invest it. You want this economy to grow? Bring your money home. They've already paid tax on it, people. That won't happen. All right, bottom rate of 12 that Adam was talking about. What do you get now? You get a standard deduction, and you get a personal exemption. You're not going to get that personal exemption anymore, and I'll tell you how that impacts you. But first, good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Well, I'm just finished a tennis match, and I'm all tired and wet. But,
well, you got it in. That's a miracle.
Just barely. But I've been listening to your show just a little bit driving home. I hope you're going to move into what the real solution is to tax reform.
Oh, you wouldn't be talking about the fair tax, would you?
I certainly would be talking about the fair tax.
Never has it been more evident what the right idea is than with this proposal. Never. For those of you who don't know, get the book, The Fair Tax Book by Neil Bortz and Congressman Linder. It's a few years old now, but it's absolutely timely.
But the best place to go is bigsolution.org.
Okay, I like it. Bigsolution.org. We'll link to that on our website.
Great.
Wonderful.
The three pillars of tax reform, as we see it, first of all, is ending tax evasion. Over the next decade, that's going to be a $9 trillion problem.
Yeah.
According to a study by Richard Sabalas, a professor out at JU, who happens to be he specializes in the subject of tax evasion. The other pillars are moving taxation from production to consumption.
Mm-hmm.
The third is ending direct taxation,
yep,
as enabled by the 16th Amendment.
Yep. Full repeal.
Full repeal. It's tax tyranny. It's financial slavery. We pay the government before we pay ourselves.
Yep.
Thanks to the 16th Amendment.
Yep.
And nobody is talking about these problems. The present tax change, it's not tax reform, does nothing to drain the swamp. Nothing.
The closing line on my speech today says, please, drain the swamp.
Oh.
It's shocking, huh? There's no bigger fan, no better spokesman for the fair tax than Paul has been for many, many years. I've known him a long time and heard him. He's very knowledgeable, but he's also very ambitious. And we really thank you for all the work you've done on it.
Well, thank you for any support and all support that you can help inform the people. The voter first has to understand the problem.
Yep. Read the book. You'll have questions, but you will be swayed. That's the way
it
works.
It's a very simple, easy solution.
Yep. Absolutely
to,
true.
Undo a very complicated, complex problem of 74,000 pages of tax code that divides us. It divides us into classes.
Yep.
No need to do that.
No, you're absolutely right. All right, my friend, I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
I got a few more complaints to do before the end of the hour, and we'll talk. Thanks.
Okay, Steve. Thank you.
Bye. A very fine man. The possibility of a fourth tax bracket.
Yeah, I saw that at 39.6,
yeah.
which
uh-huh.
is, ironically, the current highest
tax
bracket.
Tax cut for everybody? Yeah, that's after you lose a few things. I said we're not going to get a personal exemption. Now, one of the things, probably the biggest fog that's put over this thing, is when they hold up this postcard. I got it right here. If you look carefully at your radio dial, you can probably see it, that little postcard that everybody's hanging on to there. We've all seen Ryan and company out there holding these up. Oh, this is how 90% of the people are going to pay their taxes on a postcard. Well, you know what that postcard is, aside from a sham? It is a picture of the middle section of the Form 1040 EZ as it exists today. Can you file a 1040 EZ today? Do you know anybody who can? Because you won't be able to then either. Nobody's taxes are that simple. There is a list of things. Read my blog this week. It'll be published when Monday, Tuesday, something like that.
Monday or Tuesday.
And I'll show you exactly who can't use this. You are not going to file your tax form on a postcard, people. And why do you think the 1040 EZ takes up a full page? Because at the top, there's a name and address section. At the bottom, there's a signature line. They're going to have to do that, too. The postcard won't work. This is a sham, an absolute sham. Increase the child tax credit. Help Adam a lot, right? Well, they're going to take away $4,050 a piece on your personal exemptions and up your child tax credit from $500 to $1,000. But they'll probably take it away from you because you make some money.
Yeah, and I'm sure that threshold will not be very high, especially if you have two people working in your family.
Exactly. How about, let's see, the devil's in the details, elimination of state and local tax deduction. How many of you write off and you get a legal deduction for some sales tax? That's a state and local tax.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you think your property taxes lie? Is that a federal tax? No, that's a state and local tax. So what if you're going to... You got your mortgage deduction, but you don't have your state and local sales taxes, and you don't have your property taxes. You're probably going to be pushed into not itemizing, but are you really getting a doubling? A single person goes from about $6,000 to about $12,000, but they lose $4,050 doing it. If you've got a family of four, five, six people, you're going to pay more taxes, people, and your rate is higher. It's going from 10 to 12.
It depends. Again, where do the brackets go? So.
Yeah, exactly. And no one will tell us. I'll be on this for a while yet. You can count on me because this is a crock, and it is being promulgated, or whatever the heck the right word is, upon a society that does not know any better. Inflation rate in Jacksonville was 8.4%. And we'll see you next week. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.